Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. Now with this week's guest, here's Lloyd Broach on The Spirit of Chester County.
Welcome to The Spirit of Chester County. In each episode of this program, we have a conversation with someone in Chester or Delaware County who is making a difference in their Catholic faith. Today's program is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek & Brogan in Downingtown. To learn more, call 610-594-1600 or visit wasinekbrogan.com. We're going to do something today. Actually, I don't think we've done in all 35 or 36 of these programs we've done thus far, and that is we're going to promote something, which is kind of fun. I'm in the promotion business. It's my day job, and I love to promote things. Most of the time, we get to talk to clergy, as you know, and some folks in the Catholic churches, and we've talked to a lot of lay people that are very involved in their faith. But we have someone here that's very involved in their faith, but I'm telling you, she's a hot promoter, too, and she's got something very hot to promote. So first, let me tell you about Sue Watson. Sue Watson is a member of St. Patrick's in Kennett Square. We had my business in Kennett Square, as a matter of fact, Sue, for a while, right there on Union Street, so I know Kennett Square pretty
great
well.
Great area, great area.
And so, Sue, we've just found out there's a connection between myself and her sister. We're not going to talk about that, but it's very interesting. You meet people, and all of a sudden you find out they know people, and then sometimes, especially if they're from Delaware County, you find out they're actually related to people, so that's the way it often is.
Yes.
So anyway, welcome, and thank you very much for taking the time
to talk to us.
So we are in the lower level here of the rectory at St. Maximian Colby in Westtown, and we're here for a very good reason, because you have arranged to bring a very, very important guest to do, I guess, a retreat and seminar. And I want, first of all, I'd like you to tell me a little bit about the subject herself, and how did she become so well-known and famous as she is? What happened here?
We're talking about Immaculée. She's a survivor of the genocide in South Africa.
Now, her whole name is Immaculée.
I can't say her last name is correct.
Okay. It's Immaculée Ibigiza?
Yes.
Okay. And she is a survivor of the Rwandan genocide.
Genocide, yes.
So she's in the United States now?
Or yes, she lives in New York.
Okay. So I understand this woman speaks to everyone.
Unbelievable.
Including archbishops and stuff like that.
Popes, world-renowned leaders. How I came to know her, I lead a Bible study in St. Max. And one of the ladies in our group was talking about Immaculée, and she wrote a book, Left to Tell. And it really piqued my interest, and these two ladies were so moved by her, just being around her. So I went and read her book, Left to Tell, which is an account of she was in college, and her father said, you need to come home. There's an uprising in our country, and you need to come home. She didn't want to come home. She came home. And that was in 1980, I believe. Hmm. And when she came home, a million people were killed. It was between the Tutsis and the Hutus. And her father gave her a rosary, and she hid in a bathroom for 3 months with seven other people while everybody died. All her family, her parents, her grandparents, all her siblings except one's cousins, everybody she knew. And when she came out of that bathroom, she didn't know what to do with her life. She basically had the shirt on her back, and that was it. And somebody helped her get some clothes and to let them live for a little bit, and then she went on to live in the UN. And slow but sure, somebody said she kept telling her story, and they said, you should write a book. And she did write a book.
And what was the name of the book?
Left to Tell. It will change your life. It's changed my life tremendously, tremendously. And she's almost like a rock star in this area, if you know about her, because when you hear about what she's gone through and how she forgives, and it's one thing to read about it, and then when you meet her, she just oozes the Holy Spirit, because just to be around her is wonderful. To me, personally, I feel I'm witnessing a living saint, because everything that she does, in this day and age, everybody always gleans their own reward of, you know, I'm so great at this. Everything always turns back to the Blessed Mother and turns back to God. And she just, her, I've been on two retreats and I've seen her speak twice. And my prayer, according to God's will, I would love to go to Rwanda because what she does is she gives all this money that she collects from the books and she makes and she gives it back. She has an orphanage there and she's built churches. And the book also talks about that before this genocide, the Blessed Mother appeared to three children in the schools around there and nobody listened and she predicted this genocide.
Now, I find the most interesting thing is when you started this story about Immaculée, her family was already Catholic.
Yes.
In Rwanda.
Yes.
So that was different just for starters.
Yes.
So this child who had to hide in the bathroom for how long?
3 months.
3 months.
Yeah.
While this Holocaust occurred around her.
Exactly.
And a million people perished because of these, yes. this civil war, I guess it was. I remember it from 1980.
Yes.
So she wrote a book about that experience, not only her experience, but that of the people that she that were left over because there weren't that many people left.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and we're speaking to Sue Watson, who is a member of St. Patrick's in Kennett Square. We're at the St. Maximian Colby Parish, where she conducts a Bible study, and you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio's Spirit of Chester County. This is an astonishing story because we read often about the martyrdom of saints and so forth that occurred hundreds, even thousands of years ago. I mean, the patron of this parish, as a matter of fact, was a martyr.
Yes.
And that was only less than 100 years ago.
Yes.
He died in 1941 mm-hmm. on August 14th.
Yes.
So for this to occur 30 years ago
exactly.
is pretty close to our life, you know, because at least you and I were alive in 1980, and several
yes.
people that are listening to this, all the people listening to this most likely, were alive in 1980. So it is, it's a very, very close story, isn't it?
Very,
because you're talking
very,
to someone that, this is almost very, yesterday.
Very, and the reason why this really touched my heart is in 1999, when I was 44, my husband died of leukemia. And you go through grief and you go through faith and God gives you the grace to get through things. And then there's a period as you go on with life, you get a little angry and how can you handle this? And when I read her book, I thought, I have no more excuses.
Yeah, almost
you know
like
I mean?
You think I've got problems, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
not only that, it's right. almost like, because I've, through God's grace, I worked on my faith through adoration, rosaries, daily rosaries, and going to Mass as daily as often as I could. And I feel like when you see how she what she went through and how her faith expanded in the bathroom, I believe she said 27 rosaries. Now I'm talking about the entire, every mystery of
right.
the rosary.
All three of them.
And 27
right.
divine mercies.
Right.
And that's how she got through it, and she felt like the Blessed Mother was there. And I think what really got to me was when she said, "The Our Father, and forgive those who forgive, you know, mm-hmm. others. I want to forgive others who offend me." And she said, I said to God, I'm just going to leave that part out because I can't do that right now. And I just felt like when you see her faith journey, and I just felt like by no means did I go through what she went through, but I felt like she really touched my heart because I felt like she was on my shoulder in my grief process. And that's one thing, but just, and like reading a good book, every time you read it, you get something out of it, different out of it, the same with the retreats. I have seen her speak twice, gone to two retreats, and my prayer always was, I would love for all the wonderful people here in Westchester area to also experience her.
Well, you know, I went to a retreat. It was not even a retreat. It was just a talk, I guess, at this parish, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And the visiting priest got up and he was talking about essentially things, bad things that have happened to you.
Yes.
Loss of a spouse, loss of a child,
yes.
worse.
Yes.
Loss of a job. A lot of people are losing their
pain
jobs.
Pain is pain. Mm-hmm.
And losing jobs because of maybe some bad thing that someone did to you. And he said, those are bad enough. But he said, but the forgiveness part is the hardest
yes.
part of all. And he said that that's, of course, what separates us Christians from others.
Yes.
Is that we can be mad for the rest of our life on
yes.
earth
yes.
and enjoy it, right?
Yes.
And or we can forgive. And that, of course, must be the principal mission and principal part of the story, I guess, that Immaculate
exactly.
is talking about.
In fact, what she did was she went up and saw the man who killed her brother, and she went up and hugged him beyond forgiving.
Yeah.
And that's, people say, what is this retreat about? It's about faith. It's about healing. It's about forgiveness. It's about renewal. I mean, you come here. It's the old saying, you give God an hour, he gives you the rest of the day.
Right.
You give God this weekend of retreat, you will be touched. Every time I go, I get something out of it. You don't have to have lost a spouse. You can just be searching for something. You want to heal. You want to increase your faith. I feel we're beyond blessed that we can have her come here. In fact, Monsignor, when we were arranging this, and God bless Monsignor Carroll, that he is such an advocate and wants this to be done, this retreat, he said, well, let's make sure she's not talking in the area. Oh, my goodness. Her retreats before and after were in third world countries, in Europe, you know what I mean? I said, I don't think we have to worry about that, Monsignor.
It's Westtown and Munich.
That's right.
Something like that, yeah. That's going to be
right,
a conflict,
right.
Yeah.
So I just think it's, and even she, when she spoke at Mary Magdalene's in media, she had given a retreat to all men's retreat, which was wonderful,
yeah.
In the Malvern prep,
right.
In Malvern
right.
Retreat House. And she affected so many of those men that they came back to the mass to speak, to hear her speak later that night. And then when she got up there and spoke, I'm getting chills while I'm saying this, it really gave her, and she felt like her dad was there giving her a hug because she misses her dad and all these men. And then a lot of college students came to that talk. In fact, my daughter came. She didn't really want to come, but she came, and she was really taken back, really taken back.
Well, you're going to get a chance to experience this profound person, this Immaculate Ila Bagazi, when she comes to St. Maximin Kolbe on the 11th of October. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you, and actually Sue's going to tell you more about how you can arrange that and what to do. I just wanted to mention to you that you mentioned Monsignor Carroll is excited about this. I saw him last Sunday. We're recording this on a Tuesday, and I said, so how are you, Monsignor? And I see, he said, oh, by the way, since you're doing a radio show. It wasn't, would you do a radio show,
yes.
Or do you have time to do a radio show?
Yes.
He said, you're doing a radio show. And I said, oh, really? When is that? He says, in 2 days. Because we have to do it. And so and he was practically leaping off the wall. He was so happy about
he's
it.
He has sat in on every meeting. It's been a blessing.
Yeah.
It's been
so
wonderful.
Really,
we are very blessed
this.
To have him.
So anyway, we'll hear all about that when we come back after the break, and what you can do to visit this thing and see this retreat. Obviously, it's going to change your life, according to Sue. And I want to remind you that you are listening to the Spirit of Chester County right here on Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. Today's program is made by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek Brogan in Downingtown. To learn more, visit their website, wasinekbrogan.com. And we'll be right back.
The law firm of Wasinek Brogan supports Holy Spirit Radio over WCOJ. Wasinek Brogan help you with personal injury, disability, work injury, or medical negligence. Representing the communities of Chester and Berks counties and beyond with the highest ethical standards and professional excellence. Wasinek Brogan is proud to support Coatesville Spotlight over WCOJ. You can reach Wasinek Brogan at 610-594-1600 or on the World Wide Web at wasinekbrogan.com.
And you're listening to the Spirit of Chester County right here on Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Catholic Radio for the Delaware Valley. My name is Lloyd Roach, and I'm glad to be here at this time on Sunday to talk to you and introduce you to my fascinating guest. Today we have Sue Watson, who, as I mentioned before, is a member of the St. Patrick's Parish in Kennett Square, but we are today at St. Maximin Kolbe in Westtown because she is a Bible study group leader here, and she has been talking about this fascinating seminar and retreat that's coming up at the parish on the 11th of October. Now, I looked at the parish bulletin, Sue.
Yes.
That was published last week about what Immaculate is going to do.
Yes.
And I thought, when I just read it before I saw the schedule, that she was just going to get up, maybe talk for half an hour. Everybody's going to say, you know, this is great. Thank you so much for coming here from Rwanda. A lot more going on here.
Absolutely.
You've got 2 full days.
Absolutely.
Of things. So tell me about this thing. How does it start? What are we to expect when we come here?
Thank you for asking me that. October the 11th, which is Friday, registration is at 3 o'clock, and it will run to 8 o'clock. We will have light refreshments. In between, there will be 2 sessions. She starts with, even if you haven't read her book, please don't think you're going to come in and you haven't read her book and it's going to be like walking in the middle of a movie. They will show a little movie about her life, so you'll be very up to speed. She will speak according to what she feels in her heart, because she's such a fervent of the rosary. That's a big thing. And the rosary of the 7 sorrows will be really highlighted. And she'll really talk about her life. And she will just talk. It's such a devotion to the Blessed Mother and to the rosary and whatever comes on her heart. And you can really feel it. The next day, we'll have Mass, and then it's going to start registration at 8 o'clock, and we'll go to 12:30. I've gone to so many of them, and they have so expanded because right. So many people come. They have a rose flower procession, and we have a Blessed Mother, and everybody brings their own flower, and you have a procession, and that flower represents every burden that you have in your heart. And you bring it up and you put it in the vase and give it to the Blessed Mother and know that she's our mother and she will love us and take care of us. As Jesus always says when he appears, and the Blessed Mother, you know, Jesus is about love and forgiveness, but he has justice. And he said, but if he asked anything that you should have through my Blessed Mother, I can't refuse her because she doesn't have the justice. She has nothing but mercy and love. And I really, you know, It's just beautiful. And like Immaculée will tell stories of how she survived, what she went through. She also, after she worked in the UN, she worked at Mother Teresa's orphanage. She's such an, I look at her and I think about everything that anybody's gone through in her life, and I thought the book so titled so appropriately, Left to Tell. But look where God's plan. We never know what God's plan is for any of us, but the unbelievable hard that she has survived, and now look what she is, world-renowned leaders, popes, Everybody, and here for her story, all because she's listened to God, she prays the rosary, she gives her life, she has 2 children, she's married. It's just... I've seen at the end of the retreat, men come up and they just talk about, you know what, my heart was so heavy and I really didn't know what to do. And, you know, you have really touched my life. Like when I went to the retreat up in the St. Luke's, I believe it was last year, there was a couple where they had lost their young child and the mother just couldn't get over it. And they all came, but the mother couldn't come anymore. But all, gosh, I get tears in my eyes. All her sisters and her husband's sisters, they sat on the front on the altar as she just really prayed the 7 sorrows, where you just really give everything to God, to the Blessed Mother. And it just touched everybody's life. You know what I mean? I just think it's... I know sometimes I'm not good at expressing it because it just touches my heart what she does.
Well, before I met you, I was not aware of the devotion to Mary of this woman. I thought
unbelievable.
It was just a... Mm-hmm. And, of course, here at St. Maximin Kolbe, you're in the right place for that.
Yes.
Because he was like a huge Marianist.
Yes.
And
that's all
he talked about.
Yes.
I've read 7 books about his life.
Yes.
And that is the central theme, will always be the central theme with him. And that practice of handing your troubles to the Blessed Mother with a flower dates all the way back to a very early European tradition.
Does it? Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
He talks about in his book that children did this during the May processions.
That's what it feels
in
like.
In fact, you see it done in the May procession.
Yes.
And that was why it was done. So what she has done, obviously, is manifest that with the story that you've heard from her.
Well, I wanted to expand on that.
So tell me more about the retreat itself. So you have these little things, obviously, like the masses and the rosaries, and then what else do you...
And she just really speaks from her heart about forgiveness, about healing, about trusting in God and how God really does live. And she expands more in her experience of what she's gone through and what's wonderful. And she says she falls back too. She knows God is real.
Right.
And she knows to forgive. And she knows that she should just keep praying on everything. But she's human. And it's just, she's just such a wonderful, it's almost to me like she's a living beatitude. Do you know what I mean?
Yes,
we can all feel it in our heart, mm-hmm. but she's living it. And she tells her children that when they go to school, she kisses them on their head. And she said, I'm your mother at home, but you're never alone. The Blessed Mother's your mother whenever you're away from me. You know, like she just, she always talks about how she prays to the Blessed Mother and all the struggles that she has gone through and the struggles now. And I also wanted to expand, which she'll talk about all her books. She's written several other books. She has written one on the apparition, the Marian apparitions before this genocide happened. She also wrote a book that I just read that was The Boy That Met Jesus. And he was a pagan boy, and he was one of the ones that the Blessed Mother and Jesus appeared to before the genocide. I believe it was before the genocide. And as a little girl, she used to be at her father's knee, Immaculée, and she wanted to go to where, you know, he appeared in, you know, such rugged traveling, she could never go.
So this happened before.
Yes,
she was born. I see. This is many years before that.
No, she was a child.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
But she wanted to go because everybody would just travel and travel.
Right. And this is in Rwanda.
Yes.
Right.
And she got to meet the boy that she always wanted to meet as an adult, and she wrote a book about him. And here he was a pagan boy. If you don't believe in God, never knew about God. Never had any education, and what Jesus taught him was so renowned. He wasn't Jesus, but this pagan boy. But it reminded me, like, when Jesus went and taught in the temple, and all the rabbis were looking at him, like, how do you know everything? You're such a young child.
Right.
The same thing with him and what he did and what he went through, this little pagan boy. And to me, besides forgiveness and the Blessed Mary, Blessed Mother, she just keeps saying, Jesus, there exists. Jesus is here with us. Go with him. It just, to me, joy, sorrow, just living life, you know, it's just given us more tools.
Let me ask you something. Last month, we did a radio program with another author named Matt Pinto.
Yes, I know him.
And he made the point that very few Catholics, and maybe very few people in the world, actually step through that door, meaning
mm-hmm.
they do really give it up,
yes.
everything,
yes.
and they hand their entire life over to the Blessed Mother, or in some cases,
yes.
Jesus, and say, okay, I'm here, you take care of everything, I'll just do what you tell me to.
Yes.
And that's a very tough thing for
yes.
a human to do.
Yes.
And it sounds like that Immaculée did exactly that.
And still does.
And does it to this day.
And when I say she's like a rock star, I mean people she uses the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants to be around her, but she never, ever takes any credit. Anything you say to her says, for the Blessed Mother, it's because of Jesus. That, to me, is amazing, not to be affected by all that.
Yeah, rock stars get affected.
Exactly. Or athletes, you know, I could use a better analogy.
Sure, right.
But she just...
Pick any baseball player.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I say to my children, you know, if you have any gifts, they're God-given.
Yeah.
You be thankful for them, and you preserve them, and use them wisely, and know what the source of it. And she does. And what is so wonderful to see in these retreats where everybody's trying to give her accolades, or they tell her how much she has meant to her, it just reinforces to her of what she's doing is her path, where she should be. It's never puffing herself up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like to me, like we were the last retreat, she goes, oh, hang on, I want to tweet this. I want to take this picture for Facebook. She's on Facebook.
Right.
And another thing that I wanted to get back to about the retreat, if you go on Immaculée.com, you can learn everything you want about Immaculée. And that's how you can register for the Westchester retreat, which is in St. Max's retreat. But I think it would be easier if you go on St. Max's website and you can just register right there to go.
And that's stmax.org.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Please come.
I think we just need to review one more time. The date is and time, again, is 2 days, right?
Yes, it's October 11th, which is a Friday. Starts 3 o'clock is registration. The session starts at 4, and it will go to 6 o'clock. There's 2 sessions and a break, and we will give a light refreshment in between. Saturday, I believe we're going to have 8 o'clock Mass and then registration, and then the first session is at 9 o'clock, and then we end at 12:30. And also, I wanted to say that all the books that we spoke about will be there.
Right.
Everything that you want will be there. She'll have book signings also. And I also wanted to thank Monsignor Carroll again, because we could have had just a day of her speaking or two, and Monsignor agreed that he really wanted to have a retreat. This is nothing but a blessing that she's coming.
This might be the first time this parish has actually had a retreat. We've had a lot of seminars, but nothing quite this level. So I might be wrong about that, but I don't think so. And this is a pretty big deal.
Yes, big deal.
The big deal person that, of course, participated in this is Sue Watson, who's been our guest here. And it's just wonderful that you've got behind this and got it moving and so forth. Just a couple of questions before you leave. At the end of the retreat, what happens? What's the wrap-up? Is there a wrap-up of any kind?
You're asking all the right questions. She'll have it open-ended, and people can come up and speak about anything. And they come up, and I'll tell you, you're really, really touched.
I'll bet.
Really touched by what people say, or, you know. And Immaculée is a real, real big thing about music, because in Rwanda it's very big with music and dancing. And there's always music, and it's... If anybody's afraid or feel a little turned off, like it's a retreat, not only...
Kind of a holy roller thing.
Yeah, it's not. Right. I'm telling you, no matter where you are in your faith or where you want to be, this can be nothing but a positive experience that will really touch your heart.
Well, I can't any better than that. Again, October 11th, if you'd like to learn more, it's on stmax.org. You can give the parish a call. The phone number at the rectory is 610-399-6936. And again, it's October 11th. And go to the website. That's the easiest way.
Can I just say one other thing?
Of course.
Thank you for your time, Lloyd, and thank you for your faith. And anybody, if you feel comfortable enough, if you come to the retreat because you listen to us on the radio, let us know.
That would be great, too. Sue Watson, thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. Pleasure to meet you, and thank you.
Oh,
I'd love to.
I'd love to hear more about this.
Thank you.
Maybe you're next.
And you're coming, Lloyd, right?
And thank you for listening to the Spirit of Chester County right here on Holy Spirit Radio, 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP. Today's program was made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek Brogan in Downingtown. To learn more, call 610-594-1600 or visit wasinekbrogan.com. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next time on Spirit of Chester County.
You have been listening to The Spirit of Chester County, a program which introduces you to Catholics in Chester County and the western suburbs who are making a difference with the Catholic faith. The Spirit of Chester County is made possible by a generous grant from the law firm of Wasinek, Brogan, and Downingtown. Join us again next time on The Spirit of Chester County, right here on 1420 WCOJ and 1570 WISP, Holy Spirit Radio for the Delaware Valley.